put my dick in pudding now. Put my dick in pudding now. Put my dick in pudding. And a happy new year. It's a Brohio Christmas special.
That was pretty close.
Christmas crimes.
Yay.
Mm.
I almost forgot what this episode was.
Slime. Christmas crime. How you feeling, Rob Dog?
I'm good. Feels nice to be back here in the cream spot. Hanging out. just doing what we do.
Welcome back to the cream spot. I'm your co-host, the delicious Nickalicious.
And I'm Rob Dog. What's going on, everybody?
Rob Diggity Dingle Dog, as you all affectionately know him as. And yeah. You are indeed inside the cream spot, just like we've told you before.
Welcome to the cream spot.
You would think to yourself, these guys, they're not going to put out a fucking episode this week. It's Christmas. Well, our wives divorced us. They said, we're not allowed to see the kids this year. We've got nothing else to do. I'm just kidding.
Time to fucking party.
Our wives have never loved us more than they do right now. My wife even brought me a cup of Dr. Pepper and Captain Morgan's.
Yeah, buddy.
Rob, should we call it Dr. Morgan's?
Dr. Morgan.
Here's what I like. Captain Pepper.
Captain Pepper.
I like Captain Pepper.
Captain Pepper sounds pretty good.
Captain Pepper. Rob and I went to Angels and Airwaves, and I got two craft beers. Yes, I said it. Two.
Feeling pretty good, too, aren't you?
$18? Yeah. And I had such a bad fucking headache the next day.
Got to work up your tolerance, man.
I think it's not. Every time I drink draft beer,
yeah,
I get such a migraine that I can't even function the next day. It's like I got a fucking hangover and I haven't even done anything. It's painful, dude.
Yeah, man.
It's painful.
I remember when I wasn't a pussy.
Okay, then. All right. I see. That's fine, dude. That's fine.
I'm just fucking with
That's
you.
Fine. 3 years of just blood, sweat, and tears, and you just want to throw it all out of the fucking window like we've never had like we've never even been friends for this long. That's fine, man.
Oh, no. I'd take that back. That was rude.
Speaking of pussies, sometimes you guys hear my tales, and some of you may think, he's got to be making this stuff. But I've not told a fake story on this podcast before.
Right.
All this stuff happens to me in reality. I've got a knack for weird stuff happening to me.
Yeah.
When I go to a bar, I usually come out with a really weird story out of the bathroom. I think that's the story for when you go to the bar in the middle of the night, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, everyone's got a good story when they come out of the bathroom.
Yeah, usually.
This does not involve me being at the bar. I've not been to a bar in an exceptionally long time. This is me at work. Okay. We have locker rooms at work, but no one gets naked or gets down in their underwear in this locker room.
Okay.
We just put on just
you
part
lost
of my Yeah. Oh, okay, never mind.
You had me reeled in and then I just broke the line.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's all right.
So we go in this locker room, half my building's a freezer. So we get in this we put on like bibs, you know, to stay warm. I'm at work. A lot every day, you know, 10 hours. So the bibs, I put them on, and the crotch, I zip up. But then the first time I go pee for the day, I have to unzip the crotch on the bibs, and then I have to unzip the crotch on my jeans in order to urinate.
Okay, chastity belt.
Yes, and then usually for the day, I just leave my jeans unzipped and leave the bibs zipped up. It just
makes sense.
One last opportunity to not have my fucking wiener cut off whenever I zip my zipper up.
Or not piss your pants if you have to go real bad.
Exactly, because, you know, I'm fucking...
So your body knows whenever you're reaching for that zipper, and it starts to let loose sometimes before you can control it.
And you know me, I'm butt-chugging Zimas all day long. I'm the Bill Wilkins godfather, okay? That's what I do.
Doing some snake slurps.
Yeah, we're waffle-stomping butt-chugging sons of bitches, and that's... I leave my zipper down on my jeans, I leave the bibs one up, and... Usually I'm straight, I'm squared away. But this past week, I was at my locker, and I dropped my bibs, and I turned and I faced, there was a guy sitting on the bench in the locker room. He was kind of just like vegetating, taking his break, I guess. Some guys like to just go sit on the bench in the locker room and just get away from everybody.
Smell other guys' shit.
Well, it's really far away from the bathroom,
okay.
So it doesn't even smell bad. It's a really nice locker room, I guess, if you're into the locker room and cleanliness and whatnot. And I said, how you doing, man? But I must tell you guys that this gentleman is probably 99% Hispanic.
Okay.
1% super Hispanic, and he speaks very little English, just like, I don't know, hi. And I always like to do a little small talk with him. And I said, hey, how you doing, buddy? And he looked over and he just stared at me. And he just kept on staring at me like there was something scary behind me. And I was just standing right in front of him, all fucking like Superman with my hands on my hips, just took my bibs off, standing there in just my t-shirt and my jeans. Not anything weird. I don't even take my boots off to take my bibs off. I'm just standing there in my boots with my hands on my hips, looking at him, just waiting for him to be like, hey, I'm having a good day, senor. Just something. Give me something. Yeah. We're going to Taco Bell after our bowling league tonight if you would like to go with us. Whatever. Say something to me.
I'm always down for Taco Bell.
Yeah, because that's what Hispanic fellows like. That's
authentic.
We welcome them to in America with open arms. We have Taco Bell. That's authentic Mexican cuisine, okay? And I'm just like standing there waiting for him to talk back to me, and he's not talking back to me. He's just staring at me like he's mad at me. And I didn't do anything mean to this guy that day.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Didn't do anything nasty to him. Didn't call him names. Didn't get short or snippy with him. I held the door for him at one point in the day. So maybe, you know, something I wasn't paying attention to. And he just like kind of got up and walked away. And I was like, man, that was really weird. You know what else is weird? I kind of feel a breeze on my penis. And I got these Duluth Company, they're called bare naked underwear. It feels like you're not wearing anything. Uh-huh. The thing about these motherfucking underwear is the dick flap pulls apart really easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was standing there talking to this dude like, hey, you know, buddy, and my wiener was completely hanging out of my fucking zipper on my jeans. Just the old one-eye Willie was just staring at him, dude. My dick's down like, hey, how you doing? Really hot, kind of tight down here. You got a smoke I can bum? Hey, that Mexican fella's real cute. We're not going to fuck him, are we? I didn't know we were into that shit.
Well, mostly, poor guy.
We've been seeing the same lady for 12 years. I don't know about this Mexican fellow you're looking at. He looks hungry.
So I was just staring at the power move.
To a power move.
Just fucking... The dude probably left because it looked like I was about to piss on him.
Hey, buddy, look at my dick.
Oh, no, no, senor. No, no. Gordita.
Short and fat.
I think something like that.
It's a churro, dog.
Yeah, it's churro.
The world may never know. It doesn't fucking matter. None of this matters anymore. Okay? Jesus Christ.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. It was quite embarrassing to me after the fact, so I'm not going to be able to talk to him ever again.
Got throw him out and just start over with a new person.
Yeah. And well, if it happens, if I get the opportunity, I'm just going to pee on him. That's the only...
Might as well.
That's the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
So let's take a second to say thank you to our new Patreon subscribers. Sorry, I had to turn myself down there. I don't know how I got turned up so high. I'm a loud motherfucker. First off, on our... It's been a short week, so... If you would like to get an ad-free version of our episodes, for $1, go to patreon.com/brohiopodcast. We would like to say thank you to Jade for your Patreon subscription. Jade, thank you for listening, and thanks for the pledge.
Yeah, thank you very much. And next, we got Drury Louie, or Lewis. That's like I don't even fucking know where to go with this.
This is a funny story. Jory Luis, that's the name of the guy that was okay. That I showed my dick to in the locker rooms.
No way.
No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe he did like it, in fact.
Jory Luis is probably French. I don't even know. I don't know, man. So, like I said, if you want to join us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/brohiopodcast. One thing Rob and I are kicking around is something called the Brohio Dark Vault. We have some ideas of an interview-based podcast to break up the monotony of us talking like fucking morons once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like a serious production-type thing. The one thing we need are stories from you guys. We need people to reach out to us that have, I'd say, profound encounter situations. We have enough ghost stories to last us until the fucking cows come home.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
We do have a lot, yeah.
Some of them are good. Most of them are the same thing over and over. It's just like, I was coming downstairs, take me a shit, make some eggs, and I saw a black shadow shoot across the house. It could have been my fucking cat. It could have been a goddamn Ouija board on a magic carpet. I don't fucking know, but I think my house is haunted. I think I got spirits. Those are the kind of emails we get for the ghost stories.
I was doing a Ouija board and my dad started fucking me in the butt. And I looked back and he said, quit using my goddamn Ouija board. But he really was fucking me in the butt. So I guess it wasn't that scary after all. That
sounds like a happy ending.
Yeah, it was a very happy
ending.
Especially
for the dad.
Some place in Dayton just got buttoned up this week for doing happy endings.
Yeah, they did.
It was something.
God bless them.
Some kind of oriental.
Yeah.
The massage parlor.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
That's against the rules.
You can't do that anymore. Robert Kraft from the New England Patriots, the owner. Did you hear about this a few months back? This is right at the beginning of the year. He's the owner of the Patriots. He's like 70 years old.
Right.
He went into a massage parlor in Florida, straight up went in there to get his dick sucked.
Okay.
And this was a hot sting, dude. The police had cameras in the room where he was getting whatever done to him.
Fuck yeah.
And then all the reports came out. He demanded that the chick just cram her finger up his butt.
Okay.
I feel bad for the old man.
Man, no kink shame.
His wife passed away.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, let him get a finger up his butt.
He's just doing his thing, you know? I hate the goddamn Patriots, so... Hopefully he gets an artery nip next time and
man,
him and Tom Brady both die. I don't like Tom Brady either. They cheated against my Bungles.
They did.
And the bungle for Burrow was...
If you have to cheat against us, that's fucking sad.
The Bengals solidified their number one draft pick.
Yes,
today.
They did.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Joe Burrow, welcome to Cincinnati.
It was a rough fought season.
Did you watch the game today?
No, I watched, like, the previews and...
Oh, man. It went in overtime. They scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. The goddamn Bengals did.
That never happens.
They said, you're not giving us the first round pick.
We used to be the fourth quarter comeback kids back in...
Cardiac Cats.
Yeah, Cardiac Cats, yeah.
Yes.
I know, Mo.
Yes. Let me, I had an article here.
Maybe.
I don't know why I didn't do it the correct way.
It's all right.
I didn't even read the article. I just saw the headline, and I said, yep, this is the one.
It's an Onion article.
He had the meats.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
A Missouri church leader and professor used Grindr to connect with students at his university. Is Grindr the one where guys connect to fuck each other in the butt?
Yes.
Okay. A Missouri church leader and professor used Grindr, a salt grinder is what I use on my dinner, to connect with students at his university and then attempted to compensate them for sexual acts using an Arby's gift card.
Oh, wow. Man.
We have the meats.
You're going to give me a gift card. Make sure it's not to a place like fucking Arby's.
Oh, dude.
Man.
Among other conventional gifts. Barry Pointer. What a cool name for a fucking professor that's fucking the kids. A Kirksville, Missouri resident, professor at Truman State University, and a church elder with Kirksville Church of Christ. Use the handle DILF.
I love how aware he is.
DILF. Oh, dude, I'd like to fuck on Grindr to connect with male students at Truman State, according to Daily Express. Pointer then offered to pay for sexual acts in unorthodox ways, telling an undercover officer that, quote, might throw in an Arby's gift card along with paying the fuel up the officer's vehicle at a local gas station.
Man, if he's filling up my car.
Oh, Pointer said he was interested in a sugar daddy relationship and that he provided partners with gift cards, clothes, and cold hard cash in the past. Police set up the undercover account after receiving a tip about Pointer's use of the app, which is similar to Tinder, but specific to gay, bisexual, and bi-curious men. Pointer offered to pay for the fuel prior to the sex acts. An officer set up a sting at a local gas station, according to the Daily Express. Pointer attempted to flee the scene when he saw the cops, but only made it several blocks before giving up, pulling over. When confronted, Pointer denied that he was there to provide gas or the Arby's Rubens. He skipped the gift card and just got the Rubens for this one in exchange for sex acts, claiming instead that he was simply trying to help out a student. He was hungry and I have the meats. Fuck that guy. You definitely get the meat sweats. Pointer had been charged with patronizing prostitution and misdemeanor and faces up to 6 months in prison and a fine of $1,000 if convicted. He's been suspended, and he is due in court on January 8th, 2020, which we might provide coverage on that.
Might as well.
He's like, oh, I know you don't really might not want to. I got a big old hairy wiener. You might not want to suck it.
But what will this $7 Arby's card do to change your mind?
How is this any different, though, than just a normal guy trying to take a girl out on a date so he can finger blast her in the back of his Camry?
Dude, Arby's has never worked for that, Rob. Have you ever waited in an Arby's drive-thru? There's no one in front of you. It doesn't work, dude.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I mean, doesn't every relationship kind of patronizing prostitution?
Guys, driving a really hard bargain. How about I throw on a large Jamocha shake?
Hey, you throw in 10 packets of Arby's sauce and I'll suck cat shit out of a fucking garden hose. It doesn't matter, dude. I'll do anything for some Arby's sauce.
I'm sold.
How is Arby's...
A Jamocha shake, though? Dude, fill me up, well, with gas.
I want to drink a Jamocha shake out of your butt.
Give me some gas to Jamocha shake, brother. I'll do a lot of dirty stuff.
What, is that a bag of Reubens you got right there?
I like you showed up.
Slap me with them.
That's so bad.
He bribed him with Arby's gift cards and he shows up with Reubens like the worst thing on their menu.
Throw the corned beef at my face.
You couldn't have got me a gyro or a fucking apple turnover. Jamocha shake. You brought me Reubens. I'm definitely not fucking you.
I love Reubens, but not from Arby's.
No fucking chance of me fucking you with a fucking sack of Reubens.
You get them sauerkraut farts.
Why would you want to fuck anybody after they ate Reubens anyways? That'd be disgusting.
Oh, no, we're going to have to take a... I need to take a break. I'm about to poop. We're going to take a break from fucking each other. I'm about to poop my pants.
Oh, man.
I don't want to poop on you, D.I. I don't want to poop on you, Dilf.
Dilf. I think it's unfortunate that Arby's was blessed with such terrible food, but given the most delicious condiment in the entire world in Arby's sauce.
Arby's sauce is fantastic.
Why can't I have a gallon of Arby's sauce?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Here's my thing. If McDonald's starts serving Mountain Dew, that changes everything.
Really does.
And it changes it even more if they start serving Arby's sauce. Dip some McDonald's fries in some Arby's sauce. I'll suck a dick for a Jamocha milkshake. I don't even care.
That all-day breakfast slams, though.
Yeah, it does. Okay, what is even going on right
here? Who knows? Christmas murders, Christmas crimes, whatever the fuck we're doing.
Christmas crimes.
So, the first one, how befitting, on Star Wars weekend, okay? We've got a potpourri of crimes that have occurred specifically at Christmas Eve. You know, right there about
the holiday
time.
Season.
I was looking up UFO incidents that occurred on Christmas, and the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident occurred on Christmas Eve. That's one of the biggest UFO crashes to ever grace the media, and I think I was like, this one might deserve a little more than what we've got to offer tonight.
Did I mention?
Yes. So then I called my buddy on Grindr. I said, hey, I got a sack of Reubens. I'm trying to get my salad tossed. I want to get my fucking dick sucked from behind. He's like, you want your dick sucked from behind? I said, yeah, 3 Jamocha shakes. I want you to pull my wiener out of the back. I want you to start slurping on it. Mr. Dilf, he said,
how about I meet you at the gas station? My name is Dan Brown. I'm going to bring a sack of Reuben sandwiches. We can do it there in the parking lot.
How disappointed would the guy be that thinks he's getting $50 worth of Arby's cards and this guy shows up with a sack of sauerkraut and corned beef?
I would be pretty mad.
I would be very upset. You just ordered for me? You don't even know what I wanted? You just ordered for me?
We haven't even met.
How do you even know I like sauerkraut? How do you know I like poop and blood? That's what sauerkraut does to me. Jeez, man.
Hope you like a shitty dick, brother.
Yeah. In college... They called me sauerkraut shit dick. Why they call you that for, dude?
Long story. I was at a gas station. There was a guy.
My friends on the football team called me Papa Poop Dick.
I don't like it, Rob.
Either.
Oh, so go ahead and tell him this lightsaber story.
Okay.
This is a good one.
So you got a 33-year-old Hillsborough man faces several charges after he was arrested for allegedly assaulting 3 people with 2 blue lightsabers at a Toys R Us on Hayden Island.
Here, just keep on reading it.
Okay, here's keep doing the noise. Okay. A 911 caller. I can't even do it.
You're not reading it, dude.
I can't do it.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry.
So a 911 caller reported the attack at 9:50 p.m. Wednesday and said that the man, David Allen Canterbury, was swinging the Star Wars-style weapon at customers inside the store at 1800 Jansen Beach Center, said Portland Police Spokesman Sergeant Pete Simpson.
Pistol Pete.
Though police initially reported Canterbury struck the customer with one lightsaber, Simpson said Thursday he had one lightsaber in each hand.
Oh, he's definitely the last fucking Jedi for sure.
Yeah, he's dual-wielding. While the caller was still on the phone, Canterbury walked out of the store, lightsabers in hand, towards the parking lot, police said. Officers tried to arrest Canterbury, but he kept swinging the lightsabers at him, Simpson said. One officer tried to use his taser. One officer tried to use his taser, but the device didn't work. He was using the force, man. You ain't gonna get him. Another officer.
You
ain't gonna get him, brother. Another officer used his taser, but Canterbury knocked one of the wires away with the lightsaber. I told you, dude. He's the fucking chosen one. He trained with Yoda. Police eventually wrestled Canterbury to the ground and arrested him, Simpson said. He was taken to the area hospital for mental evaluation. He faces allegations of disorderly conduct, theft, assault, resisting arrest, and interfering with a police officer. None of the people attacked with lightsabers needed medical attention, Simpson said. That's a bummer.
Yeah. I like it.
I do too.
I can do all of them. So I saw the new Star Wars last night. I'm not going to provide any spoiler alerts. I thought it was a great movie. My wife,
I heard it was a cheese fest,
was ready to tear that motherfucker down. She was upset, dude. She was angry.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go on Tuesday, I think.
Yes, I would recommend it. You're going to like it. You'll like it.
Yeah. I just heard it's really cheesy.
I didn't think it was cheesy. The end was just, I don't know, you'll see it. You'll either be like, killer movie, or you'll be like Stacy and you'll start a car fire in the parking lot. I thought it was good though.
Yeah,
I would say
I'm easily entertained, so I won't hate it.
I will give it a 6.9.
I see what you did there.
Okay, I wasn't trying to do that, but yeah, I definitely was.
Okay,
the next article, this comes by way of CBS News. It's entitled Bath Salts.
Okay,
sign me up. This comes from none other than Vandalia, Ohio.
Look at that.
And if you're not familiar with Vandalia, Ohio, that's where you can find the Brohio Studios. That's not a very big metropolis. We've got something really fucking cool here called the Dayton International Airport.
Yep.
That's about all we got. Except for we've got Terry Trent, 44 years old. He's dead now. I looked it up. He fucking died. I looked him up because I want to interview him and get his side of the story. This occurred back in 2011. This is from CBS News. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at one home in a Vandalia suburb, thanks to a man who police say broke in and started hanging up Yuletide decorations.
That's sweet.
They also say the burglar, who was already in the holiday spirit, was high on bath salts, reports CBS affiliate WOIO. Terry Trent. Some of y'all be thinking about Cemetery Terry. He ain't been up in this motherfucking about 45, 55 weeks. Some of y'all go strolling around the cemetery around Christmas time. One thing you gotta look out for when you're strolling around the cemetery, Cemetery Terry. He be up there setting booby traps. When them booby traps go off, they be razor blades. He got fucking pop rocks and up in the motherfuckers. He trying to kill people up to the cemetery. Don't be going to the cemetery thinking Cemetery Terry don't be knowing you're walking around the cemetery. Cemetery Terry, get you. I think this is a different Terry, though.
Who knows? He's dead.
Who knows?
He may have been the OG.
Hi, you guys. As many of you know, it's that time of the year where the betting and the football and all the different sports, college basketball, college football, it's all starting to heat up. And if you're someone like me and you are just fantastic at betting on these games, Brohio has the perfect opportunity for you. It's time to make these games that don't matter matter. That's right, you can pick a few different games if you really know what you're talking about and turn it into a parlay. Just go to mybookie.ag mybookie.ag. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you can get an extra free $1,000 in free money. Or do like I do. I deposited $100 and I got $50 in free money. The $150 that I put on my Bengals today, and they covered the spread for me. I won some money. I won about $75. So if you want to use the promo code BROHIO, you can get this offer just like I did. Win you some money, win you some games, Christmas time. Treat yourself. Go to mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, Roy, you got another story here. Christmas right. Crimes. This is this one's called Snakes. I like snakes. I fucking hate snakes, honestly.
I don't mind them too much.
Fucking hate them, dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter.
I get it.
They're terrible.
They're weird.
No, it's the work of the Satan. It's the work of the devil.
Take little chalky white shits, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird. I don't care to see snake shit.
My aunt used to have two of them. I think we talked about this before.
Story time.
Yeah.
Story time for just a second.
We haven't really talked much about.
We've never talked about this.
No.
Rob had an aunt. Ah! There's my wonderful wife. That's fine. Thank you. Hey, is there any more rum? Sorry, before we were rudely interrupted there. She was popping in to tell me the dogs are going to start barking in a minute. You've stuck with us since the beginning of Brohio time. You're going to be okay with some dogs barking.
Right.
We used to have Rob's kids barking in the background.
Background noise is a thing. It's okay.
So, story time. Rob had an aunt. Huge fucking knockers.
Still have an aunt.
But. Huge breasts.
Yeah.
I mean, she was probably, she was a truck stop five, is what I would say at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was her name Tammy?
Yep.
I can't believe I remember that.
Yep.
It's probably been close to 20 years since this happened.
She took us to ECW, pay-per-view. Yeah, Heatwave, yep.
I don't know how, we didn't even know ECW.
No, we didn't know it was a thing.
But we went, we're like, holy shit, they're fucking killing each other.
We met Sandman, he signed a pack of cigarettes for us.
Yeah, that was in my mom and dad's room forever. I don't know where it's at now, I wish I still had
it. We met Taz.
We met all kinds of people.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So, I'd planned on staying the night at Rob's house, but we went back to, instead of going back to Rob's house, we went back to Rob's aunt's house.
Yeah.
And when I say house, I mean apartment. Above a shop. Yeah. It was in a really weird spot.
Yeah, it was. I remember that apartment.
It was in a really weird spot. And she sits down. Me and Rob were like laying. He was on the couch and I was on the floor. And she came back in for a second. And I saw her like shirt moving. And I said, "What is that?" And she's like, "Oh, that's my snake." I'm fucking a chubby 10-year-old. I am terrified of snakes. I was about ready to jump out the window.
And these just aren't your normal, like, little tiny snakes. These are 6-foot long boa constrictors.
These are some motherfucking serpents is what they
were. She used to leave them out of the cage and let them just crawl around and...
That's what I'm getting to.
Yeah, weird, man.
She's like, they like to hide where it's warm underneath my tits. Oh, man, God. And then my first question, I don't think about these monstrous breasts these snakes are hiding under. I said, what do you do with these snakes at night? She said, I just let them go around the house.
Real weird, man. They used to hide back behind the refrigerator.
I think she might have been a snake. I think she might have been a part snake.
Definitely.
I just like to let them sleep under my tits. They eat Arby's when they're real hungry. I did not sleep a single fucking blink that night, I promise. And sure as shit, she wakes up. How'd you sleep, boy? I didn't. Where's the snake? I don't know. That thing could have fucking eaten me while I was sleeping on the ground.
They were big fuckers.
They might have been anacondas, dude. You and I are not veterinarians.
Nah, they were huge.
I watched a lot of Crocodile Hunter growing up. Those could have been fucking Amazonian anacondas.
I would have believed it. One of them's name was Austin, though. I remember that much.
You want to sleep underneath my tits too, boy? After your friend Robert goes to bed, you curl up with these big old moon balloons.
No. Don't ever.
Do you still talk to her?
No.
You don't see her at all?
Nah, not usually.
If I see her out, I'm going to say, fuck you. I was 10, unable to defend myself when you presented snake tits to me.
Dude, I used to have to help her feed those fucking things whenever they were smaller.
No way.
We used to have to smack mice upside the head to knock them out so we could throw them in there. Because if not, whenever the boa constrictors would bite and wrap, they would get bit on the top of their head by the mice.
Oh.
And it would like break skin, so they would start bleeding. So we had to grab them and fight. It was rough.
That is rough.
Luckily, I never had to deal with it whenever she started feeding them rabbits.
You ever heard the sound a rabbit makes when it's getting...
It's terrifying.
It's the absolute worst.
Yeah, you feel horrible.
Oh, man. Whew, I don't even want to talk about it. Tell them the snake story. I'm so fucking over talking about your aunt right now because what she did to me was completely uncalled for.
Very much
You guys can hear the dogs barking. I'm sorry.
They're here.
We got a $500,000 Patreon pledge. We are buying in our own building. What we're going to do.
That'd be dope. All right, so a Slidell man accused of stealing 3 snakes and a cash register from a local pet store is in jail on a simple burglary charge, but Slidell police say more charges are expected to be filed. Donald Legast Jr., 31, allegedly told police that he stole the snakes as a Christmas present for his son. Slidell police detective Daniel Susanow said in a new release. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name.
You nailed
it. Excuse me. Yeah, sure. Donald Legast Jr., Slidell Police Department. I don't know why I said that again. The owner of Delta Pets 1370 Corporate Square called police Wednesday after noticing the back door of the business had been pried open. Suze now said the owner also noticed the cash register, a $600 ball python, and 2 boa snakes were missing.
Have you seen the testicles on a ball python before?
Never.
Huge, dude. Big old set of nuts on those motherfuckers.
That's why they call ball?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
One ball.
Okay.
Lance Armstrong snake.
There you go. Susan Al said police searched the area and saw several nearby businesses had pry marks on the doors. They found an open door to a vacant building, a makeshift bed, 3 snakes, and a jail ID card inside. Susan Al said the ID card had Legast's last name on it, he said.
You done fucked up.
Exactly. Aggressive detective work was not required to determine that the 3 snakes were the same missing reptiles from Delta Pets, Susanow said. Detectives arrested Legast Wednesday night, Susanow, and... Well, that's stupid. And charged him with 1 count of simple burglary. Legast recently was released from jail on burglary charges.
Oh, yeah. You get me snake for Christmas, I'm sending that motherfucker back to Cinder.
He's just breaking into any building he can to find something to give to his son.
It's the best I could do for you.
You're thinking, you know, maybe some Jacks, some marbles.
Some Arby's.
Maybe a Skip It. You ever have Skip It growing up?
Yeah.
Skip It. Skip It. Polly Pocket.
Moon Shoes.
Moon Shoes. Gack. I saw a
Gack fucking... Gack was sweet, man.
I saw a grown man standing...
Pogs.
Yeah, I had a lot of those.
Me too.
This week on Facebook, I saw a grown man standing next to a Global Guts trophy. That jagged piece of rock that was green.
It was green.
This guy's grown up and he won Guts when he was younger. He still got the trophy, man.
Oh man.
Poo! I was jelly like a donut for real. I was jealous. Man,
I bet you could find one of those on eBay.
Yeah. It's probably a lot of money though.
Worth it.
We gotta pool our resources at this point.
I'll sell a kid.
My bartender's back. I've got some more hard liquor in my cup here. Mm-hmm. We're calling this next one the attack. I really like this one. Wait a second.
Attack. Nope. One more up.
One more up. The Christmas float. A man driving a float in the Anderson Christmas Parade has been charged with drunk driving after he passed another float then sped down Main Street, police said.
Good for him.
What? It's every man's dream to drive a float in a parade at some point in your life. And if you're going
to
do it...
And then to drink while you're doing it? Hell yeah.
You got to drink.
Right.
You got to booze.
It's a bucket list.
In Dare, they used to say, if you booze, you lose. And I had an uncle... He pissed his pants a lot, but he would always say, if you don't booze, you lose. And I like that. If you don't booze.
I see what he did.
You lose. He's dead now as well.
Jeez.
I don't know how he died. Natural causes. But God rest his soul, you know? When officers caught up to 42-year-old David Allen Rogers, he had an open container of alcohol in the truck he used to haul the children and adults on the float for the Steppin' Out dance studio. Witnesses said Rogers was driving in line in Sunday's parade when he pulled out to pass a tractor in the float. Rogers sped down Main Street and ran a red light while a witness on the float called 911 on a cell phone. I wish I had that 911 call.
Hey, we're on a giant fucking Snoopy truck, and this guy's driving chicken fucking Zima and Boone's farm. He's gonna fucking kill us all.
Officers started chasing Rogers, who didn't stop for 3 miles.
Oh, God.
I gotta get to the end of this goddamn parade.
Once he pulled over, he tried to attack an officer. Rogers, whose child was on the float, faces more than 3 dozen charges, including DUI, 18 counts of kidnapping,
oh my gosh,
and assaulting an officer, authorities said. A woman who answered the phone at Rogers' home would not talk to a reporter, and a message left at the dance studio was not returned Monday. Rogers will have a bond hearing on the kidnapping charge Tuesday. He has a prior traffic offense. I'm sure it's nothing like what he just fucking
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
How much fun is that? Just drive a Christmas float to the end of Valhalla and fucking kill everybody.
Steal a bunch of kids.
Oh, I love it. I don't know if you guys are going with me, but you're going with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll read him this. This next
so
one's fun, Rob.
We got the one called Attack. Now, approximately 11:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Bruce Jeffrey Paro, dressed in a Santa Claus suit, knocked on the door of his former in-law's house, occupied by about 25 people, with a gift wrap package containing a homemade flamethrower on a trolley and 2 9mm semi-automatic handguns.
Oh, man.
That's some fun shit right there. He also had 2 additional 9mm semi-automatic handguns in his possession. Moments after the door opened, Pardo pulled out the 2 handguns and immediately shot his 8-year-old niece, Katrina Yuzefpolsky.
You nailed it.
The daughter of Letitia Yuzefpolsky and a sister of Sylvia Pardo as she ran to greet him, injuring her in the face.
Oh, man. I think Sylvia was his ex-wife.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
He then fired indiscriminately at fleeing partygoers. Police speculate that Pardo may have stood over and pointedly executed some of the victims using other handguns. Ooh, this is dark.
This is taken right from Wikipedia, so before we get crucified on this one.
Yeah.
Yes. Wikipedia.
There you go.
I gave him $3 because they always do the screen capture.
After the shooting, Pardo unwrapped the package containing the homemade flamethrower and
holy
used it
shit
to spray racing fuel gasoline to set the home ablaze. That racing fuel gasoline isn't to be fucked with.
Oh, I would say not.
That'll fuck you up. 9 people died from either gunfire or flames. I would pray that the gunfire would have taken me. And 3 others were wounded. The 8-year-old girl who was shot in the face with severe but non-life-threatening injuries, a 16-year-old girl shot and wounded in the back, and a 20-year-old woman who suffered a broken ankle jumping out of the second-floor window. That's, you know, I would have taken the broken ankle for sure.
I would definitely feel like God had a purpose for me after that point.
Exactly. There was one survivor who called authorities during the attack after escaping to the neighbor's house. The resulting fire soared approximately 40 to 50 feet and took 80 firefighters an hour and a half to extinguish. Told you that racing fuel, man.
That's some nasty stuff.
Anytime my stepdad was with his friends and he was drinking like heavy shit, he'd be like, "That's that fucking rocket fuel, boy."
Good.
Like, oh, that's the shit that's got you tripping and falling over yourself. Due to the intensity of the fire, identification of the victims was done with dental and medical records. Whew.
That's rough, dude.
That's rough.
This is still part of it, the suspect's death.
Okay.
I can do this part.
Sure.
After the attack, Pardo put on his street clothes and drove his Dodge Caliber rental car, and that's an unfortunate car to fucking drive, to his brother's house in Siler, about... Silmar.
Silmar.
Ooh. about 30 miles away from the crime scene, where he was later found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His brother was not present in the home at the time of Pardo's death. It was initially believed that Pardo intended to flee to Canada by plane, since he had bought an air ticket to fly to a flight on Air Canada. However, yeah, if I was going to Canada, I'd probably fucking kill myself, too. I'm just kidding. However, it was subsequently discovered that the flight itinerary on Northwest Airlines was from L.A. to Moline, Illinois, with a layover in Minnesota. Pardo had called days before to tell a high school friend that he was planning to visit, but investigators were unsure if he actually intended to visit or if the flight was to fool investigators. He had visited the friend before in October 2008. Other reports stated that the Santa suit had melted during the flamethrower portion of the attack and then adhered to a skin. Ooh. So not all of it could be removed. However, suffering from severe third-degree burns on his arm stemming from the blaze, Pardo decided to go against initial plan. Police found $17 in cash cling wrapped on his legs inside a girdle. He was about that life.
$17,000.
Yeah. Up underneath his nutsack. His rental car parked one block from his brother's house had been rigged with remnants of his Santa suit that would detonate the car with black powder if removed. Also recovered from the crime scene were four 13-round capacity handguns that were empty and at least 200 rounds of ammunition.
Jesus.
Suggesting that what had been inside the car was being treated as a threat, a bomb squad fired an incendiary device into it, burning and destroying it. At Pardo's house in Montrose, police had recovered five empty boxes for semi-automatic handguns. Jesus, this one goes on for quite a long time.
It'll be good. Yeah.
There was... What an unfortunate... That's a bad one to go. It was just a really disgruntled guy that was going through a divorce.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, yep.
And he did some business, unfortunately. That's sad stuff.
Yeah.
I hate that the kids were hurting that. And kids got hurt in the last episode. We really love kids.
We do.
It's unfortunate.
Some of them fucking suck, though. No, I'm joking.
They do. Some of them are jerks.
There are some asshole kids.
I do believe that. The next one is from Dayton, and I've heard of this one before. I want to say Hunter from Murder and Such has maybe covered this. Maybe it was a live show. I can't remember, but these are called the Christmas Killings. This happened in Dayton in 1992. This was just a murderous rampage by these people that lived in Dayton. It was kind of a gang of a few different people. In December of 92, downtown Dayton was filled with holiday decorations and activities. There was the Christmas tree lighting on Courthouse Square, and for whatever ungodly reason here, downtown Dayton sucks. It's nothing to do down there.
They're trying to improve it. But
they are. Yeah. There's nothing to do down there. And across the street, the Dayton Arcade, which is not really a fucking arcade. It's just a giant building with a dome-shaped window on the top. There is no video games in that motherfucker.
Right.
And I remember one of my family members asked me if I wanted to go to the arcade when I was little. I said, yeah, let's go play some video games. And we get there. It's this Dayton Arcade. There was a fish market. There was people selling flowers. Dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. The Dayton Arcade had reopened temporarily with pop-up shops and eateries for the holiday season. As people shopped and celebrated, they would have never imagined what was about to happen. A band of teenagers were looking for trouble. Laura Taylor, Marvallis Keene, Heather Matthews, and DeMarcus Smith called themselves the Downtown Posse.
Jesus.
I like it.
Yeah.
They were estranged from their families and looking for trouble. Let's get some drama in our lives, Taylor, a 16-year-old runaway, said to the group. What a fucking rebel thing to say.
I know, for
Let's
real.
Let's get some drama in our lives. On Christmas Eve, they began the worst crime spree in Dayton history. The first victim was Joseph Wilkerson. The girls lured their way into his Prescott Avenue home, promising sex, and the 34-year-old General Motors worker was shot and killed. The posse then partied in Wilkerson's house over the next 3 days.
Damn.
They ate his food and drove his cars while he lay dead in a bedroom. That is completely fucked up.
Yeah.
That same night, they shot Danita Goulet, 18, who was using a payphone outside a neighborhood market in West Dayton. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Police said Goulette was robbed of her gym shoes, jacket, and book bag. All she said was, quote, "Don't shoot me." And they shot her anyway, said Rhonda Goulette, the victim's sister. She gave them everything that she had. I just wish they would have spared my sister. On Christmas Day, the body of 19-year-old Richard Maddox was discovered in a car. He had been shot in the head. Detectives later found out that Maddox was the former boyfriend of Laura Taylor. Jeffrey Wright was also shot that day outside a home on Yuma Place. Despite four bullets, he survived. The posse went into the Shortstop mini-mart on December 26th and shot Sarah Abraham, who was working in a family business that holiday weekend. The 38-year-old mother died 5 days later in the hospital. A store customer who was shot, Jones Pettis, survived. At first, Dayton homicide detectives did not know that these crimes were all connected. Really, the first thing that made the connection for us was the ammunition, said retired Dayton homicide detective Doyle Burke. Then you start to worry, and you figure out that we've got a person or persons that are probably not going to stop. Burke said they had no idea who they were looking for. The fact that it was truly stranger on stranger crime, which is the most difficult homicide to solve. There was not even a motive, Burke said. Later on December 26th, former Dayton Police Sergeant John Huber spotted a stolen car on Kumler Avenue. At that time, he did not know that he was stopping Dayton's spree killers, or the Christmas killers. They all cooperated and put their hands up. I would later find out from the detectives that Laura Taylor told Marvallis Keene to shoot me, and he wouldn't, said Huber. Okay, so they wanted to fucking smoke the cop, and they... Jesus Christ. After the four members of the posse were behind bars, Taylor got a visit from a local minister who was concerned that she was only 16 and accused of such terrible crimes. During their visit, Taylor told him about two more victims. Police found the bodies of Wendy Cottrell, 16, and Marvin Washington, 19, in a city-owned gravel pit on Richley Avenue. Taylor said that they were shot because the group thought they would snitch to the police. Keene confessed and was sentenced to death. After 17 years of appeals, he was executed in 2009. So Marvallis was finally executed by the state of Ohio.
Good.
The other three got life prison sentences. During a prison interview in 2000, Heather Matthews explained why she got into the crime spree. Quote, "I wanted to be like them. I wanted to do what they was doing." Okay.
Oh, wow.
Matthews said. Detective Burke said that once the killing started, he believes they are all willing participants. They enjoyed it. They lived it. It made them somebody, Burke said. Rhonda Goulette admits that even after 25 years, the holidays are very difficult. "I grieve for my family, but I continue to grieve for the other victims' families and also the people who are incarcerated," said Goulette. "Anybody's life can either go to the left or the right, so I do. I think about them very often." Goulette said the murder of her sister had a huge impact on her life. The crime led to the breakup of her engagement, the loss of a child, and her mother. 6 years later, my mother passed away prematurely, said Goulette. My mother passed away at 51 years old, and she passed away because of her grief. My mother absolutely died of a broken heart. Goulette is now an advocate for victims' rights and is working on her master's degree. She said she gets through the holidays by serving her church and feeding the homeless. John Huber, retired from the Dayton Police Department, is the public safety director at Sinclair Community College. Doyle Burke is chief investigator for the Warren County Coroner and has written a book about the homicide cases that he investigated, including the one that covers the Christmas killings that we just covered here. Now, let me go here and find this. Marvallis, what was his name? Marvallis what? Washington?
Fuck, I don't remember. Let me go up here.
Gotta go. Marvallis Keene.
K-E-E-N-E.
Let me look it up, because he had a fucking wicked last meal.
Up top, yeah.
Keene ordered a last meal of a porterhouse steak with A1 sauce.
Oh, come on. Porterhouse with A1? You fucking noob.
You ruined it. Ruined
you fucking
it.
Ruined it.
A pound of jumbo fried shrimp with cocktail sauce, French fries and onion rings with ketchup, dinner rolls and butter, two plums, a mango, a pound of seedless white grapes, German chocolate cake, two bottles of Pepsi, and two bottles of A&W creme soda.
That's a fucking meal, man.
Well, Marvallis, you fat fucking piece of shit. You're dead now.
Dude, out of... I would eat so much.
I would too. I would eat all that. A pound of deep fried shrimp. That's my shit.
Yeah. For real.
Shrimp is my shit. Okay? There's not no two ways about it. So this is the shortest episode that we've ever done. I think we did shorter ones.
Done shorter ones. But hey, it's the holidays.
It's hard. Usually we look at the time and we say, oh my God, it's been 2 hours. But this one feels like it's been an hour and 45 minutes. And it's only been 51 minutes.
We're an hour off. It's all right.
It's all right. So Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Thanks for making our lives a dream come true and listening to us until the end of time. We're very happy to have you along for the journey.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, if you have any fun stories for the Dark Vault, feel free to get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to you.
Subject title, Dark Vault. Send it to brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, let's make some weird shit.
Make some really weird shit. Give us plenty of stuff for Rob to chop up and load him down with editing and shit like that.
So. Rub my butthole too.
Yes.
Well, to you and your families, we wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Put your dick in pudding.
Put your dick in pudding.
He loves you.
I love you.